Welcome back, dear listeners, to the Waiting Warriors podcast. It's been a while, but we are here to reconnect with you and continue our mission to share important military spouse stories and resources. As many of you know, it's been a challenging couple of years for me. Life took a very unexpected turn, and our son James was stillborn, and I had to take a step back to heal, grieve, and find my way through the storm. I am excited to bring this podcast back, and I have plans to make it even better than before. I had done a dozen or so interviews before we lost James. And since the guests and the content were so good, I can't not publish them. But for my mental health, I'm not going to edit them the same as I normally would. So please forgive any mistakes, any little weird things. But I am excited for you to hear these amazing military spouses. And then season two of the Waiting Warriors podcast will be coming shortly. Enjoy the interview.
Hey, Waiting Warriors. Welcome to another week on the Waiting Warriors podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Bowler. And this week, I'm excited to introduce you guys to Brittany Lanza or Lanzo or Lanza.
I don't even know.
He doesn't even know. Okay, we have to start. Okay, first I'm going to introduce you, and then you need to share this story because it really is like, I've never heard of this before. But Brittany's husband is a full-time reservist now in the Air Force after doing 6 years active duty. She is a 9-to-5er, which ever since I like wrote down my notes for today's interview, I've had that Dolly Parton like working 9-to-5. So I hope now you can like
be. Yes, I love Dolly.
She also though is a business owner of New Altitudes and the second half of Milso Muster. I always want to say that wrong. God, I'm like terrible at saying things. But also the podcast director of Moments with an MEO for any military spouse entrepreneurs there. That is a really cool resource for anyone, all of us trying to figure that life out. Okay, so your last name.
Yeah, so I don't even know how to say my last name. So my husband says Lanza, and so does his mom. His sister and his dad say Lanza. And so there's like this dispute amongst the family that's like, is it Lanza or Lanza? And everybody argues about it. So I don't even know how to pronounce my last name, but I've had it for almost 2 years now. So I should probably figure it out.
Okay. We should do a poll. Maybe we'll have to, when this airs, we'll have to do a poll on Instagram. It's Lanza, but your husband's Italian? Is that what you said?
Yes. Yeah. His family's Italian.
Okay. So double voting points to anybody who is also Italian.
Yes.
Because like,
you can help me.
Yeah. Because like, I'm just a white girl from California. Like, I'm not going to pretend to know, you know?
Yeah.
I want to say it like with a Spanish accent. So that's like.
Right. Like I want to get fancy. Like let's. Yeah. It's Lanza. No, I don't know.
That cracks me up because it's not even like extended family. Like this is an immediate family. Every Thanksgiving dinner. But even like growing, it just makes no sense to me. Like how. I don't know. That's really
weird. I don't get it either. Yeah. I just kind of roll with it because eventually Nick like gets so upset. He's just like, it's Lanza. And everybody else is like, it's Lanza. And he's like so irritated. I'm like, it doesn't matter. It's fine. We can move on.
It's just one thing. Like, I don't know. I want to go to Italy with him. Like, let's go on a couple's trip and just see
what
happens on how he feels about his name. Like, let's meet some other families there with the same name. Cause you know, you could like find somebody with the same name.
Yeah.
And then have that, like watch that argument, Nick, with someone in Italy with the same spelling and everything and see what happens.
Oh my goodness. I would pay for that.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll just book that trip soon. Once COVID's not happening or whatever.
Right.
Okay, but speaking of COVID, let's go, because you have a really interesting experience, you know.
Yeah.
So let's go back to a year, like a yearish before COVID hit. You weren't just getting married. You'd been married. Oh gosh, how long ago was COVID?
I know, right? Like trying to go back and think about like, when was the last time I met a stranger at the grocery store who wasn't wearing a mask? Like, I don't think I can go back that far.
Okay, but you've been married for 2 years. So like you would have just recently been married.
Yeah. So
you're entering this military spouse world.
Yeah. So 2 years, or excuse me, 1 year from COVID. So here in Arizona, COVID shut down everything the 28th of March. So if we go back to March, Nick and I were planning our wedding. We were not yet engaged, but you know how that goes. We knew he was going to get deployed. And so we were like, yeah, like let's elope in Vermont. We'll plan it. And I was like, fine, but you're getting down on one knee. Like that has to happen. Right. But honestly, it was fast because we were like, all right, we've been dating for 7 months and we're like, all right, like we know we want this to work. We know we want to do this. I don't want to find out via Facebook from his mom, who I've never met, that something has happened. Yeah. So let's just do the darn thing, right? Like, let's just go for it and let's get married. And if it ends poorly, we'll just get divorced, like YOLO, right? And so we went into this marriage knowing he was going to be deployed for 7.5 months, probably. We knew 6 months at least. And when he got out, he was going to have like 2 months. And then he was going to be a civilian because he was getting completely out of active duty. Okay. And so for me, I was like, cool, I just have to tough it out, like a long distance relationship, been there, done that. I'll just do it for another 6 months. He'll come home. He'll get a real job, you know, being a civilian.
For those of you who aren't watching on YouTube, that was quoted, just so you know.
Yeah, like air quotes, real job. And we were going to be civilians. We were going to be corporate bajillionaires climbing up that ladder, you know, just like doing that corporate life. Mm-hmm. And then deployment happened. And when I got married, it was like, okay, yeah, like we're getting married fast because of military life. And it was an easy excuse. I'll say that. It was an easy excuse for people who didn't understand what it was like getting married quickly or why we were choosing to do this. It was military. And so I could just kind of throw that out there as like a shield almost to protect myself and my own feelings about, you know, people judging us for jumping in and tying the knot at 8.5 months. But at 9.5 months, he left for Afghanistan and he was just gone. And it was just me in this one bedroom apartment with our two dogs. And it was in that moment that I just kept battling this. I should, like, I'm a MILSO. Even if it's only for 6 months, like I'm a military spouse and I should be embracing that and I should be doing that. But then, well, 6 months from now, we're not going to be, and I won't be. And so why immerse myself in a community that I don't even have my spouse to be part of with me? And then after he's back, we get out and then I'm not included anymore. I'm not part of that anymore. And so I finally did have a deployment buddy, which anybody going through deployment, 110% recommend getting a deployment buddy, someone who's either going through it with you or who has gone through it recently so that they understand what you're going through. And Effie and I became best friends. We hung out almost every single day. She had a puppy. So our dogs got together. We did hikes almost every day. If we went 3 days without seeing each other, you know, something was wrong. It was like a big deal. And really, she helped me. And I think what made it mutually beneficial is that she was a girlfriend. She wasn't at the time, she's now, but she wasn't at the time a spouse. Mm-hmm. And so she also felt excluded from this community, knowing someday she would quote unquote fit in, right? Air quotes around fit in, because I'm a firm believer that there's room for all of us. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's really what really brought us together and connected us, is that we both were kind of part of the community, but both also didn't feel like we fit in. And so through deployment, that was great and dandy. And then Nick came home about a month before COVID shut down the world. So Nick was coming home as COVID was like creeping into the US, and it was like this big deal, but it wasn't, it wasn't a big deal for him yet. He didn't have to quarantine. We blessed that we did not have to do any of that I hear about now. You know, he was postponed, but it was normal deployment postponement. It wasn't COVID deployment postponement or anything like that. And so the goal was he had enough leave for like 2.5-3 months, and he was just going to work his 1 week that he had to like debrief from deployment. And then he was going to basically binge watch Netflix for a month and then find a real job. And then a little more than halfway through that binging Netflix month, he decided to try to find a job, but COVID had shut down the world. And he literally couldn't get hired at all. I mean, a couple people interviewed him and were like, we'd love you to be this position. We'd love you to have this. And he was coming home like, man, I'm so excited, like all the possibilities. Mm-hmm. And then we'd get a call a week later. Yeah, we can't move forward until COVID's over. Right. And at the time that's what it was. It was like, you know, the 2 weeks to slow the spread or whatever. It was like, oh yeah, give us a month and then we can hire you. But we kind of saw that wasn't going to happen. So
you're spending your whole beginning of your marriage thinking, okay, like, I don't have to do this, but like, what's the point in doing this, to then you guys decide to stay?
Yeah. And that was really his decision.
Like, did you know how long you would stay? Or
I think, you know, when he first came home and he was like, all right, well, I mean, nowhere else is hiring. I need a paycheck. We had saved up all of his deployment money into a beautiful savings account that was supposed to be intended for a future Lanza.
Sorry.
I don't even know what to call our child. Like, how crazy is that, right? Our future baby L, we'll call it. Because
you have to at least just like decide right before a baby comes. That's your deadline. You got to figure it out by then.
This child will be so confused, but anyway. Oh my gosh. But yeah, so we had this beautiful savings account, you know, ready for this child that we were going to create, and then reintegration, which nobody tells you how hard reintegration is, but try reintegration mixed with wanting to start a family, mixed with moving. Uh-huh. Mixed with trying to find a civilian job, trying to like get out of the military, which he had been in for over 6 years. And it was just honestly a mess for a bit. I mean, we were all over the place and I didn't even know what I was, right? Because here I was thinking, okay, we're going to be civilian family. And then he comes home and he's like, you know what? The only option, like we burned through all of our savings. The only option is for me to stay in.
Yeah.
And my first question, because he had just come home, was, if you stay in, when's the next deployment? Like, I got to prepare my heart. I got to prepare myself. Like, I need friends by then that understand what's going on. I need more than Effie, because Effie was beautiful and we really leaned on each other. But I needed more. I needed more support. And I didn't know how to get that because I didn't feel part of the community. And so after he was like, all right, this is it. Like, I'm just going to stay in. We decided on him becoming an active reservist. So there's less likelihood of a deployment, but he does have a full-time job. So Monday through Friday, he works. And then once a month, he does have to work a weekend. And that seems to be working well for us. But then it was just like, okay, I went from not feeling like I was ever going to be included to all of a sudden, like, I need to get my ducks in a row. I need to have friends. I need to have this community around me because this isn't going away. Mm-hmm. And from deployment, I knew that I needed more support than just one person, because that's a lot of pressure to put on Effie. And bless her so much for being that for me, but I needed more. Mm-hmm. And I decided to create a handbook. That was honestly my goal. I was going to create this handbook, and it was going to be for any new military spouse member whose husband was just like, well, you're not really a MILSA. Like, you're not a quote unquote dependopotamus, right? Like, that's not like, you've got a corporate job. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. He was so
a
dependopotamus. You've never heard that term?
No.
Yeah. So
okay, yeah. There's another poll we need to do. I'm ready. A dependopotamus.
Gotta write these down. Yeah.
Like a hippopotamus and a I've heard dependa.
Right. Yeah. It's basically dependa and hippopotamus. I don't know. Maybe it's just more fun to say. I don't know.
Okay.
But okay. Yeah.
Dependa.
But yeah, he was like, you're not that, right? Yeah, like okay. you're not that. Like you're not the stereotype of what a military spouse is. And I was like, well, what the heck does that mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I've never fit a stereotype that's been given to me. I've got blonde hair and I'm smart. I've got curly hair and, you know, I'm funny, but I'm also serious. Like there's so many different things that like I've never fit inside a box. And right. So I was like, this wouldn't be the first time. Right. Yeah. But like now I got to know what is the stereotype of a military spouse member? And I need to meet these people so I know how I'm supposed to be or supposed to act or, you know, how I'm supposed to live this life because they're surviving. So maybe if I fit that box or that stereotype, I will also survive in this new lifestyle. And so I was like, I'm just going to interview spouses. I'm going to create this handbook and then I'm just going to hand it out like candy because everybody's going to want it. And I posted at our base here in Tucson, I posted like, hey, I'm making a handbook and I want to interview spouses. Uh-huh. In all stages of spousehood, whether you were just married, whether you're a girlfriend, whether you've been in it for 10 years. And I just want to like interview you, take down some notes. I'm going to create this handbook, kind of like a mash between Chicken Soup for the Milso Soul and like a book for dummies. Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm just going to create this thing. And then I got talking to all these amazing, incredible spouses and every single one of them is different. And yet every single one of us are all part of this community and can relate to one another. And it was just, I mean, it's giving me goosebumps just now thinking about it. Like I can drive to my friend's house who does live on base. We live off base, but I can drive through this little neighborhood on base going 15 miles an hour. So I don't get pulled over, which is like, I think the hardest part about being on base is sticking to that 15 miles.
Drive the speed limit.
Yes.
And then you see three MPs and you remember why it is, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. You go 16 and you're like, oh gosh.
Living on the edge.
But you know, you can be driving down this neighborhood in this base that's, I mean, it's nothing fancy. It's a base. And yet people are running on the sidewalk and people have strollers and they're, you know, strolling down the road or people are driving past you. And you realize that you are all connected. I don't know any of you, and yet we all share a very similar lifestyle. And that is so powerful.
Yeah.
And so I decided to continue that, but a handbook would have been a million pages long. It would have been an encyclopedia. And so that's why I created the business and the podcast that I have, because I wanted more people to feel like they could break out of this box too, which is a lot like what you're doing. And I love it. I love it.
Yeah. After you've talked to, I mean, it doesn't take really talking to military spouses and waiting warriors, like, you know, because I think that's how the box gets created, is that people, quote unquote, talk to other military spouses, whether it's the soldiers or whatever. And it's like, when you just scratch the surface, yeah. We're very similar in a lot of ways, but when you really talk to people and they open up to you, like everybody is so different and everybody has so much other things to offer than what typically is even asked of us or what has been seen and portrayed for years and years and been the stereotype. Like there's so much more to offer. And I love that people are really starting to shine through with that. And after now that I've interviewed, I always forget, like by the time your episode airs, it's going to be over 100. Like it's incredible.
It's amazing.
You get chills. Like it's so powerful when we actually talk and listen to each other and realize that I don't have to be anything else. I need to be myself. I need to take care of myself and I need to take care of my family and my spouse. But like, I don't need to be a blazer wearing, I don't know, or camel wearing or whatever it is that's like prominent in your neighborhood. Cause sometimes that does happen. Like you're in a neighborhood and you're like, wow, everybody else really loves camel. Well, guess what? I really don't like camel. Like, I think it looks really good on other people, but I like put it on. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's more extreme whiteness. I don't know. But I see other super white girls wearing it too. And they look good. I just don't like wearing it. And that's fine. And there was a neighborhood where like everybody had their camel bag and their camel pants. And I don't think anybody ever wore like head to toe camel, but still it was like, sorry, that's just not.
Yeah, I'm from Vermont. And so camo is worn for like hunting and stuff like that. So like I see camo and I immediately go to like hunter, like Vermont's full of rednecks. And that's not to say that anybody who loves camo is a redneck. That's just to say that like growing up Vermonters, that's what we did. And that's you wear camo and you wear orange and that's life. And so, you know, seeing people in camo, like that's why I don't wear it that often, if at all. I'm all about that cat print though. You give me some cat print, I will wear it. But I do think, you know, you've got such a good point that you can fit whatever stereotype you want. If you want to be the spouse of the year, key spouse, stereotype, and that's the life that you love, do it.
Yeah.
But if you're doing it because you feel like there's an expectation to do it, or because you feel like that's the only way to survive in this lifestyle, that's the problem, right? Like if you love, like I will admit my living room has American flags. It's red, white, and blue themed. Like it's a thing for me. That's my lifestyle. And excuse me. And that's the lifestyle or the decor choice that I have chosen to make because I genuinely like that. I've always been patriotic before Nick, after Nick, it doesn't matter. 4th of July will always be my favorite holiday. But you know, there's other aspects of things that I don't want to stick to those stereotypes. And I think that that's acceptable, right? Like you can be whatever you want to be. If you want to fit a stereotype or not, if you want to sit in the box or you want to sit out of the box, or heck, if you want to flip that box over and stand on it, like, I don't care. Go ahead and do it, but just be you and learn how to make this lifestyle work for you, not you working for the lifestyle.
Yeah. I love that you've been able to do that. And again, give voices just to more military spouses. And one thing that you said, like, just got me thinking, like you said, like, if you want to be the military spouse of the year, like for your base and stuff, like do that. So one thing that I've really learned this last year is because there's, I don't know if you've heard about the Armed Forces Insurance Military Spouse of the Year, I don't know, competition or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Like they have, like people get nominated and it's for their service, you know, however you want to define that in the military community. But what's been awesome being a part of that, because I won the Fort Campbell Base Award. But what's awesome is as I'm like, there are some who are kind of the stereotypical, they volunteer, they do the stereotypical things, which is awesome. They are doing so much good work. But then there's also people who've like taken that box and flipped it over and are standing on it and have a really loud microphone and are like, hey, I'm awesome. Like I think of Maria Reed, who's done an interview on here, who's moving with the military. Like she is doing such an awesome service for our community, but it is in her way. Like that girl is in jeans and t-shirts. I have seen her at, you know, like professional events and she's in a blazer, but also in a t-shirt. And it's like, you know, like she just is sawdust and glue and projects, but also is just so beautiful while she's doing all of it because she's smiling so big and loves what she's doing. And there are so many other military spouses like that who are just doing so much good for our community because they're being them. Like And that's what I love. Because if we only volunteered in the way that we should volunteer, then we wouldn't have so many amazing good things going on.
You know, I think that the more that we try to force ourselves to be something that we're not in order to fit this lifestyle, which, let's face it, this lifestyle is not built for us. It's built for our service member. And so the more that we try to fit the lifestyle instead of fitting ourselves in this lifestyle, the more resentment there tends to be, because we're not chasing our dreams. We're not being true to ourselves. And so eventually it builds up. And even if you don't feel it at first, I felt it towards the end of deployment, where I was just like, I know I'm like, I need help. I need more support, because I'm just so angry and frustrated that I did this alone, or that I did this in this way, the way that I thought I was supposed to, sending the care packages, even if I didn't even know what to throw in there. So I threw random stuff in there, you know, trying to decorate it and it looking terrible, and then just like ripping it off and slamming the box shut and just sending it to him with like a sorry, I couldn't do it note. You know, while Effie, on the other hand, is beautifully talented and had all these amazing, like, she did one that was like a s'mores kit for the whole unit, and it had like beautiful little like flames coming off the sides, and it looked like a campground when you opened it up, and it had like a thing going across. And I was literally sitting there like, dude, you're getting a cardboard box. Like, that's it. Like, I like the stress you're going to put me under if I have to decorate this for you.
Yeah.
Is insane. You know, if I didn't live my life my way, if I didn't define what a military spouse was for me or to me, to my community, then I would have a whole heck of a lot of resentment for not being able to be myself, for not being able to chase my dreams, for not being able to take those opportunities as they came, or being able to reach out and touch all these different lives. And, you know, like you said, interviewing these amazing, incredible waiting warriors, MEOs for me, military spouse entrepreneurs, it's just incredible to hear their stories. And if I didn't open myself up to that, man, I couldn't even tell you where I'd be right now.
Yeah.
Got me through COVID, that's for sure.
There's a lot of strength that comes from talking with each other and like just being able to be ourselves, because I will confess, I have never sent a care package before.
Really? That makes me feel better.
I've never sent a care package before. We are planning on sending one for Easter, but that's mostly for my kids, because I know they like would really enjoy doing something for dad. But care packages have always really stressed me out. And the idea, like, I mean, we've only had one separation without kids, and that was Basic, and that you don't send care packages in Basic because there's if they're even going to get it. But then it was like stressing me out, the idea of going to the post office with kids. But I don't know, just like I don't know why it like just doesn't click with me. I like to give gifts. I like to do service for my husband. But then there's also his personality of, he's like, most of what you send me I could get, or I could just live without, like,
that's so, Nick.
You know, he's like, whatever. But like, it is so, even just something as silly as a care package box, but it is like, it is so freeing when it's just like, nah,
yeah,
I don't have to. And if somebody's going to judge me for that, like, you go ahead and spend your energy judging me for that. I don't want to spend my energy stressing out and worrying and trying to figure this thing out that I don't want to do. And I don't think it'll actually, for my marriage, I'm not saying any marriage, but because I know there are some soldiers that are like, will you please send me a box? And that's fine. But for my marriage, it wasn't going to do anything. And I think that's like the gauge that we should actually have, instead of like, oh, what's my neighbor gonna think? Or what's my SFRG leader gonna think? What are the other people gonna think? Like, how am I gonna look to them? It's like, no, What does my marriage need? What does my relationship need? And what do I need to get to the end of this and be thriving and not like, well, I spent all my energy sending a care package. And again, I'm not digging care packages. Some people are like, awesome. And that's their love language. That's great.
Yeah.
But whatever, what I think we all have that thing that we do that can drain us. And it's like, but like, what if we just didn't do it?
And what amazes me is how many, I think, of us, myself included, put that quote unquote pressure of society on ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, in the start of my podcast started in September of last year. So it's still a baby. But when I was reaching out before I had people coming to me for interviews, I was reaching out to people and I was like, hey, I love your story. I follow you on Instagram. I would love to interview you. Or, hey, I just saw this post and I would love to talk about that on my podcast. You being a military spouse member going through this. And I would say about 80% of the people I reached out to said, oh, well, I don't think I'm that spouse. Mm-hmm. Like I'm not spouse enough to be on your military spouse.
What would I say? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I knew you'd relate. Yes.
I hear all the time. Cause I'll even like, sometimes we'll ask friends and neighbors, like, you know, I say, hey, I really admire this about you. They're like, oh, well, no. I'm not that anything. It's either like, I'm not that awesome or I'm not that spouse. It's like, no, girl, look how awesome you are. Like,
yeah. Or, oh, I don't live on base. So I'm not really a military spouse. Or I've never been through a deployment. Right. I've never been through a deployment. So I'm not really a military spouse. And those things honestly just break my heart when I hear them, especially now that I've interviewed people from all walks of life, you know, oh, well, I'm in a same sex marriage. So, you know, I'm not a military spouse. You know, there's lots of different reasons that I think we put these own like pressures. Like if I'd been like, well, I don't really like sending care packages, so I'm not a military spouse. Yeah. Like people would laugh, but you know, a lot of people relate to that. So
yeah. And it's, again, you can make that like a million things. Like, I don't know, it's like camel or just, I'm like, you know, all the super stereotypical, and I'm trying to think of one like less, but even like, oh, well, I don't volunteer in my husband's unit or whatever. So I'm not, or even like, even if you don't, I know some people who are like, we're totally separate. Like, we live off base. We don't really go to a lot of the things, and I just build my community around civilians because that's what helps me get through it and be healthy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not really a military spouse. It's like, girlfriend, your husband puts on a uniform and your husband does the same kind of crap. Sorry, crap isn't like a nice word. I don't mean to be derogatory towards the job. Sorry.
You're fine.
So it's like, this is a bunch of crap. So
I feel that.
It's really awesome what they're doing, but I'm just in a day when it's like, this is a bunch of crap. He should just be home. I know he really shouldn't. That's just what I'm feeling right now. So, but it's a good job. But he, like, you know what I mean? Like, they do the same thing, and you experience, like, it's not about the volunteering and shopping at the commissary that makes you a military spouse. It's the things that you go through on a very personal and extremely deep, real level that make you a military spouse. And whether you live on or off post and send care packages or not, you know what that feeling is. You know what that feeling is of even if you haven't done a deployment. Right. Cause that, I think that does take it to a deeper level, but that doesn't mean it's not real, because you still have said, I'm going to let my husband put his life on the line for our country. Yeah. That alone, like whether you signed the papers together or whether you married him after he signed the papers, you have accepted that simple fact. And due to that fact, I salute you and you're part of the club. Like,
yes,
that's just how it is. And you can, and like, hey, welcome to the club. Like, what's your thing? And like, who are you? And are you a rose or are you like some pretty lavender? Because lavender and roses are really pretty flowers and I want both of them because, sorry, it's like springtime and I'm starting to...
I followed. You're good.
But do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
that was something that we talked at church about, like, you know, because Christian women get in that, like, we're supposed to be this thing. But it's like, right. No, like, what if I'm lavender and she's a rose and you're a daffodil and there's tulips and there's, trying to think of ones that everybody will know instead, you know, like
lilies. Lilies are my favorite.
You can be a lily. And there's, you know, there's peonies and there's, but then there's even just the little forget-me-nots and there's
baby's breath.
Thank you. Yeah. But all of those flowers are amazing and they have different contributions and I love those contributions. But if we just wanted roses, then that's just Valentine's Day. And like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I got roses for Valentine's Day and I was kind of like, okay. Like, I like it better in springtime when there's like all these different flowers around me. And there's all different smells and there's all different beauties. Like, what if we just let that happen? And I'm like really going down my gardening. Sorry.
I love it because a garden is beautiful. if there's different types of flowers, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It's more interesting. It's more dynamic. You've got, you know, as a gardener, you would have like the low growing and then the medium growing, then the high growing plants so that there's depth and there's contrast. Oh, you're
just feeding my nerdy rose pot.
Basically, we're all flowers.
Yes. So everybody today, just go look at yourself in the mirror and say, what flower am I?
Another poll.
Yeah. What flower am I? And then just be like, you're a freaking awesome flower. Like, go you. Here, like, hey, good morning, Michelle. You're the cutest little lavender I've ever seen.
I love it.
Let's go be lavendery today. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what if we did that? And then we went, and then if you do go to the SFRG thing, you didn't feel like, oh, I got to put my SFRG mask on, or like we're at a unit thing, so I got to put that thing. And it's like, no, I'm going to be lavender today. I'm just going to.
You.
Yeah. I just feel more relaxed when I feel like that.
Yeah.
Because I'm lavender and lavender relaxes us. I didn't even do that on purpose.
I'm so tired.
That was like such a slap happy dork thing to say.
I love it. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. But I like that we speak the same language of like, I don't know. Just once you start talking to a lot of people, which I hope that the listeners, especially like, I know there are some people who've been here from the very beginning who have listened to almost every episode. Like, I hope you've gotten that. And that's the beauty of this life is that everybody can be so different and we can learn and get so much strength from each other. And that's incredible. That's
awesome. It's amazing. It literally gives me goosebumps every time I think about it because we are so different. Each and every one of us, we've got people climbing the corporate ladder. We've got people starting businesses, people doing podcasts, people being stay-at-home moms or dads.
Yeah.
And each one of those is special and unique. You know, I talked to a spouse who's currently stationed in Italy. His wife is active duty. He is now a stay-at-home dad, but he was talking about all these different adventures he went on, how he became a field pilot, like for like seeding fields in one duty station he was at, another duty station, he did something completely different. At another one, he did something completely different. And just the opportunities that this lifestyle has is just phenomenal. So embrace who you are and figure out how to make this lifestyle work for you and your family and your relationship. And, you know, just be you 100%.
And sky's the limit, because if one guy can fly a plane, then we can do whatever we want. So kind of back to your story and your experience. Now that you've like, you know, quote unquote, decided, okay, I'm going to do this military spouse thing. What does, I know a huge part of that is what you're talking about. Like, is that just that recognizing that like we can, you know, you do you, girl, and just finding value in everybody's voice. What do you feel like your voice and like what, I'm not wording this correctly. Do you kind of know what I mean? Like what is in words, like where do you feel like your part is? Cause I know that, cause it's all good and fun games to say like everybody has a thing, but it's like really deeply for you. I mean, as deep as you want to share with.
Oh girl, I can get as deep as you want.
Yeah. But like, but do you know what I mean? Like where are you with that is like, because I know I've had that realization of like, okay, everybody's a different flower, all that kind of stuff. But then it's like, okay, but what now, what am I? Do you know what I mean? Like where are you with that?
At first I was hesitant because Nick was still in this mindset of the stereotype that he had heard of or whatever. And so
wherever
eponymous. Yeah. And so, you know, he was sitting there like, oh, well, don't call yourself a milso. Like, you don't want to go down that road. Like, you know, you don't want to open up that box. Like, let's step away from there. Like, let's call yourself something else. Like, you're just a wife, right? And so I was very hesitant to jump into this community to really embrace what I was and what I wanted to be in this community. And I'm really, I feel called to be a community leader, a community developer, if you will. I'm not out there paving roads or telling construction workers where to build houses, but I do feel called to help other military spouses create their own communities of people that relate to them and people that they feel comfortable with. I've had so many people reach out to me saying, you know, at my current station or where I'm not at a station, because we're National Guard and so we don't do that, right? Like there's so many different walks of life. But I've had so many people tell me, you know, your Instagram or your group this or your that or just these people that you've connected with because I saw them on your stories and so I go follow them and I start messaging and we build relationships. This is the first time I have felt community in this lifestyle. And it breaks my heart to hear that, but I'm also just so excited that that is the community that I'm creating, that you're creating, that I feel like these leaders, these community leaders like you and I are creating. And I don't say that to be pretentious like Lonza or anything like that, like no pinkies out here. I say that genuinely because I feel like that was something that was missing in a lot of spaces, not just my own, whether we make it up ourselves or whether it's at this base or people aren't friendly or we have a bad first impression or whatever it is, or we don't have community where we're at. I think we can create community anywhere. And that's, I think that's my calling, is to help people realize that, help people be authentic and be real and be genuine online or off, and just create those communities if they don't have one, or embrace the community that they're in if they do have one. If you've got friends, if you like, you know, going to all those spouse events and things on base and you enjoy that, keep enjoying that and do those things, right? Like reach out, build those connections. It sounds so cliche, but it's so important and it's so true.
Yeah, love it. Okay, last question.
And okay, I'm ready.
I'm excited to hear yours. What is your key to thriving that you want to share with your fellow waiting warriors?
I really think it's about embracing you, of course, but I also think it's about embracing the opportunities that we have and that come to us and keeping an open mind about that. I don't think I would be a business owner, much less multiple businesses or a podcast or anything. I wouldn't be trying to quit my corporate job. I wouldn't be doing any of these things if I didn't accept the opportunity as they came and accepted who I was for who I was, and not just trying to fit this, okay, I'm going to be a civilian, or okay, I'm going to be full force military spouse, but just kind of marching my own path and doing what I needed to do to be myself. And if I didn't accept that these opportunities were there for me to take and explore, then I don't think I would have grown or been as independent or anything like I am today. So my one, if you take anything away from this, it's be authentic, be genuine, be you, but also allow being you to open up doors and opportunities for you to be more you and more of what it is that you are called to do. It doesn't matter what that is. If that's volunteering, if that's baking cookies every Monday for the unit or the squadron or whatever, like do it, like be you and thrive in that.
Yeah. I love that. Be you and thrive in that. That's a good line.
Right. Yes. Now. I didn't plan that.
You weren't brainstorming today. What are some good lines? Because that's a good one.
I wish.
Be you and thrive. I have to write it down for the podcast takeaways. Thrive in. That's a good one. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your heart and your passion. Like, I love if you, I'm pretty sure you can just hear it in her voice. I cheat because I'm like looking at her. So if you're watching YouTube, like you can see it in Brittany's aura is not the right word. I don't even like know much about aura. In her
energy, maybe? I don't know. My vibes.
Body language. That was the word. Guys, I need to stop being pregnant and mom brain. This has been a struggle. Anyways. But like you can see it and you can feel that this is something that is so real and passionate to you. I'm sure you guys can hear it in her voice. And I'm really grateful that you shared that with us, because I think it's a really, really important message. And even those of us who preach it so fervently and frequently, like it's still constantly a, okay, but what, like, what am I, you know what I mean? Like
You're fine.
It's like a weird alarm. Oh, because I have to check on my baby because she keeps on taking off her pajamas. So I have an alarm to remind myself to not go to bed until I put her pajamas back on, so she doesn't take it all through the night.
That's awesome.
I think we all need the reminders constantly, and it's so important because it's, I don't know, for some reason us humans can't ever remember any important lesson that we ever learn. At least I don't. But thank you for sharing you and your heart. Where can people connect with you or get in contact? What's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for allowing me to come into your space. I know you're going to come onto my space soon. Hopefully we'll figure that out. We'll get that going. But yeah, people can find me mostly on Instagram. I'm all over Instagram. You can find me at New Altitudes on Instagram. You can find me at Moments with an MEO on Instagram. I'm also the runner of the account on Milso Muster, the app for military spouses. So you can find me over there. My website is new-altitudes.com. So you can go there and learn all about me, my coaching, all my offerings, my podcast, all of it.
So go check it out, guys. Go say hi. She has some funny, very relatable military spouse life stuff that just make you go like, yeah. the one that really got me was you did like a, when your husband goes on TDY to like a really awesome place. It's like, yeah, Austin hasn't always gone to like awesome places, but he always like eats really good food, or like somebody, they're having a training and it's like, well, this major general guy showed up and wanted to buy us all lunch, so he bought us these really delicious tacos. And I'm like, great, as I eat my leftovers for the third day in the row. That is so awesome for you, honey.
Nick came home and was like, oh man, I gotta go here. And I was like, are you kidding me? That's on my bucket list. Like, let's go. And he's like, it's like a month and a half. And I was like, oh, I can't go, but you better go.
Can I come visit though? Yeah, that's all
right.
Yeah. It's funny. Awesome. So it's good stuff. Go say hi. Go say thank you. I'm going to do the poll.
The polls. I'll do them too. Same day.
I want to know what you guys think. Brittany's last name should be, because apparently she doesn't even know. So
I don't know. Our future child won't know if you guys don't help us. This is imperative for the future.
I just really love the part when you're like, we had a savings account for Lanza slash Lanza.
Who knows?
Like, I love that it's just become, you have two last names with a slash in the middle.
Who knows? It's perfect.
Okay, guys. Sorry. We're just like dragging this on and laughing with each other, which is great, and how military spouse community should be. But we will sign off. Thank you, Brittany, so much. Waiting Warriors out there, I hope you have a wonderful week. I hope you make it a wonderful week. And remember, just because it is hard does not mean it has to be miserable. Bye, guys.
If you love Red Friday, remember everyone deployed, but are like me and not totally loving everything you're seeing online or at the PX, I would love for you to check out my Red Friday design. You can see them quickly. There's a link in my bio that just says Red Friday t-shirts. There's a shop button on the website, thewaitingwarriors.com, or there's a quick link in the show notes. There are shapes and sizes and styles for everyone, from father-in-law to the dog. Enjoy.